Hello, everybody, and welcome to
Nerd Alert. Nerd.
Girls. Oh, that's always so perfect. All right, before we get started, my name is Bridget. I am your host, pronouns she, her, hers. I want to take a moment to say that as a resident of Los Angeles County, I acknowledge my presence, including virtual presence, on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of Indigenous people who are variously referred to as the Gaborlino-Tungva people and Keech Nation.
Hey everyone, this is Caroline, and I would like to acknowledge that I am speaking to you as a resident of the unceded territories of the Ramaytush Ohlone, the original peoples of the San Francisco Peninsula. All right, so Bridget, we are here to talk about the third episode of Loki, Lamentis.
Lament? Oh, I totally forgot to look at what the actual title was. I was just like, let's go.
Yeah, it's named after the moon that they end up on. So yeah, I saw that in the description. I'm like, I wonder what that's going to mean. So that's what that is. And then obviously a lament means like a mournful, you know, song or poem.
Yeah.
So, you know, that goes in line with the kind of apocalypse going on there. So,
and also the song that Loki was singing on the train, right? I mean, I know it's supposed it's sort of happy-go-lucky, I guess, but like I felt like there was something sort of like almost ominous about what he was singing, like the way he was singing. I don't know.
The problem is that I was trying to look up like Loki song episode 3 and stuff to see like what it was, because it sounds like it's in either like in Norwegian or Old Norse, and it could be a drinking song. It could be a lament. It could be that just a lot of, like, I don't know, I think British Isles and Northern European drinking songs, even if they're supposed to be kind of happy, they usually sound kind of sad.
Yeah.
So it's just, I think it's just an element of that kind of music. But I don't know if it's a lament. So I'll keep my ears out to see if anyone knows what that song is.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think there is something, like, regardless of whether it's a drinking song or not, it did sound like almost maybe touching on mournful in a way. But I think what you're saying about that whole part of the culture makes sense. So, okay, yeah, Lamentis. Yeah, so, okay, there's a lot of metaphors going on there, actually. I mean, like, Loki, I mean, both Loki and Sylvie kind of, like, you know, we're dealing with like death, and like we're dealing with the death of these people in the apocalypse, and like there's something about, I don't know, like loss of innocence, you know. I'm thinking of the TVA not knowing they're all variants, stuff like that. I don't know, that's all very interesting. But anyway, okay, so let's start at the beginning then. So where we last left off, Loki was following the variant, who we later realized his name Sylvie, to the TVA, and so there he's just like trying to, I guess, follow this Sylvie around. Is he actually trying to team up with Sylvie? What are your thoughts?
So I'm not sure what his deal is precisely, because, you know, he'll say one thing, but it's always hard to know if he 100% means anything he says. But I get the sense, it's hard to say if he, like, actually wants to team up with Sylvie, or if that's just the pretext for, like, following her around and hanging out with her, because he's clearly very fascinated by this idea of another him, or in this case, a her him, and wants to know more about her. So I kind of wonder if it's, like, he tells himself, like, oh, we're going to team up and we're going to take on the TVA. But really, it's more like, other me. This is fascinating.
Yeah. I don't know, that's a good point. Yeah. So I don't know anything about Sylvie in the comics, but I know from like cursory reading of articles after, you know, watching the second episode, that Sylvie in the comics, there's a character named Sylvie who like is gifted Loki's powers. I don't know if he's like, he like created her, or it was just a, you know, regular mortal that he like imbued with his powers, and that's how, like, that's like her like origin story. So she's not technically a variant of Loki in the comics, so it's interesting that they've brought her to play as like Sylvie, and like, oh, is definitely Loki, because she's like, I don't call me that, like, that's not who I am anymore. Oh, okay, at one point you were Loki then, you know. So that's interesting that they, I mean, because again, I'm not super familiar with the character in the comics, but like that it's not like technically, I guess, Lady Loki, as people have been saying. I don't know. This requires more knowledge of the comics than I currently possess. So I just thought that was fascinating, though. It's like, oh, okay. Switching it up in terms of that character's origins. But what do you think of their whole, I don't know what to call it, relationship, interaction throughout this episode? What do you think of them as a pair, you know?
Yeah, well, that's an interesting question you bring up of, like, is she actually another Loki, or is she a person who's been gifted Loki's powers? Because that might explain why she really does not want to be called another Loki, but she seems to have a similar backstory, you know? So I kind of wonder if that's the case, or if possibly she was adopted by Asgardians, but just in a different way, or something like that. Or maybe it's just that, you know, she was always a Loki, and then she realized that there were multiple other Lokis, and that idea, you know, annoyed her. So she wanted to carve out her own identity and be like, I'm Sylvie, I'm not a Loki. You know, I'm not one of you all. So that's an interesting question, and I wonder if we'll get an answer to that. In terms of their relationship, I think the actors have nice chemistry, and they're kind of fun to watch, kind of just like sniping at each other all the time. But I think there's kind of a writing problem going on, at least for me, with her, in that I kind of feel like she doesn't have a lot of character traits outside of being frustrated with Loki. And I think, I don't know, I feel like this happens when writers have a character that they're trying to, that they want to make sure is like snarking with someone else or having friction with someone else. So they're just like, okay, well, you've got the main character who I already kind of am comfortable writing, and then you have this other character whose main thing is to be irritated by this other character, and so that way they can have conflict.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point. I didn't think about it like that, like, because with her, yeah, I don't know, I had a thought and I'm losing it right now, but it is sort of like, yeah, it's a lot of like the sniping back and forth. And I remember that was something that like I saw like a lot of critics complaining about with Bucky and Sam in Falcon the Winter Soldier. It's like, oh, this back and forth, it doesn't really work. Which, I mean, in their case, it worked for me. And I'm not saying it didn't work with like Sylvie and Loki here, but like Loki himself says, like, I don't really know anything about you, you know, and, you know all the stuff about me. And, like, it kind of feels like, you know, it's the audience speaking in that sense. But she just says, you know, oh, well, thanks for the tactical advantage. So, like, I understand, like, technically why we don't learn a lot about her. It's not like she wants to, like, show her cards, so to speak. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, like, it wouldn't kill you to give us a little something. Because, yeah, I mean, she seems so, like, not fun. Well, I don't know. Like, it's hard to say. I was going to say fundamentally different from Loki. I mean, it's clear to me, anyway, that she's, at minimum, like, smarter than him. And that she is less, you know, she's less about, like, talking and liking to hear herself talk and, you know, just kind of wants to get the job done. You know, so they have similar qualities, but, at this time, she is also, like, a lot more serious and, like, it's just kind of, like, yeah, I don't know, like, a eye roll the whole time. And I just, like, I don't know how to think, like, how to think about her, how to feel about her. I mean, it was interesting to see them, like, kind of at each other's throats and, like, oh, they, you know, they did something different with, like, this Loki variant than I thought they would. But I don't know. I just feel like I need more information to care more, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And I like the way you phrase it, saying like she's eye rolling a lot, because I feel like, well, one, I think it's interesting that there was a lot of complaints about like Sam and Bucky sniping at each other, because like to me, with Sam and Bucky, because they're both pre-established characters, it felt like, well, one, this is the dynamic we've already seen from them. Like, this is just kind of how they've interacted before whenever they've been on screen together. And also, you know, they make it clear that their sort of friction is coming from this very specific place of, like, both trying to, you know, figure out who they are without the presence of their mutual friend, and kind of how they both react to that legacy being different. So, to me, Sam and Bucky sort of sniping at each other just seems like who they naturally are. And also, again, because it feels very sort of even. It never feels like Sam is just annoyed at Bucky constantly or Bucky's just annoyed at Sam constantly. It's just like they kind of just jab at each other mutually. You know what I mean? Or I guess that's how I view them.
Yeah, okay. So is that how it is when I'm not around, when the rest of you on the podcast have to talk to each other without Bridget, a.k.a. Steve? Is that how it goes down?
I don't know. I think we all get along without you just fine. But
I'm teasing.
Of course.
But no, I mean, but in all seriousness, I thought this dynamic that they had the potential to be really fun, but really I was just kind of more mildly amused, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that totally makes sense. Because, the thing is, I'm not saying it's bad per se, or that there aren't sort of fun moments, but I think what caught me off guard was when Loki says whatever, I'm hedonistic, and she's like, I am too, I'm really hedonistic, but it doesn't get in the way of the mission. And I'm like, but we don't see her being hedonistic, we just see her being very focused and driven. And it, to me, it kind of, I'm not saying that that's not a good character to have, I'm kind of noticing that, on the one hand, you have, Loki Prime, the Loki we know, whose whole thing is that he is chaotic and messy and shoots himself in the foot and doesn't have real plans. And then you have, the female version of that, who is kind of not allowed to be the female version of that. You know, she's not allowed to be as messy or as messed up or as incompetent and all over the place. She has to be driven and focused and frustrated with him. And it kind of, like you said with the eye rolling, I feel like there's this thing that happens a lot in, genre fiction or action media, where it's you've got a man who's allowed to have, a wider range of personality, and then you have a woman who kind of has to be frustrated with him that there can be conflict, and she can be the responsible one.
Yeah, no, you know what this is bringing to mind? Oh, gosh, I have this comics in my room somewhere, but I'm going to bring in Champions for a second. So Champions is group established, sort of founded by Ms. Marvel with a lot of young Avengers. You think Miles Morales and such, but she, I remember they go on a camping trip to bond and to practice their powers together, working as a team. And of course it's Ms. Marvel's idea because that's so her. and then at one point they, get Wi-Fi access because they're out in the wilderness, and they're like, oh, Viv, wait, you have your own Wi-Fi network? What's your password? And then suddenly they're all on their phones, and then Ms. Marvel, Kamala, she gets up and she's like, okay, well, time to get started with training. And Miles and Sam reply, oh, in a minute. And she's like, no, we are not doing this. I'm not going to be the Killjoy who's, Killjoy, I don't know if she says Killjoy woman, but I'm not gonna be the Killjoy who tells you, to get up and get off your butt. You have to choose to do this. You have to be the one to want this. And I kind of felt it brought to mind this whole idea of oh yeah, the woman's the Killjoy who says, yeah, no, we got to get the stuff done. And if that ain't my role to a T in most of my life, I don't know what is.
I have not read that comic, but that is giving me some flashbacks to, or probably not even flashbacks, they'll probably be flash forwards to instances where I'm like, I don't want to be the bad guy here, but you guys are not doing what you need to be doing. I think a lot of us can relate to that.
Yeah, well, that's, and that's the thing, is that's what your comment brings to mind, is, you're talking about, this role that women play all the time, where it's we have to be the serious ones, we have to be the ones to keep it together all the time, and be competent, otherwise we're not taken seriously, right? Or our character is not taken seriously. There are real-life parallels, but it also just comes up a lot in media. So, wow, that just, unfolded for me right before my eyes. Yeah, the woman Loki is the one who's, always just, the, I don't know, fuddy-dud or what have you. Or, yeah, even just, in the fact that, she has to be hyper-competent. I feel like you guys touched on this when you and Jen were talking about last week's episode, but Yeah, that's what is all coming to mind now as you were talking about that through that lens of gender.
Yeah. I forgot about that comment, but I actually realized, yeah, we did talk about that. Because like one of the things I was thinking is, you know, it was too early in the game. I'm like, okay, we've only just met this female Loki, and we don't know much about her. And I think I said something like, well, she's clearly more competent than Loki, but you know, I'm not saying that like female characters have to be more competent than male characters. Like, I think it would be nice if some of them weren't more incompetent or were, you know, just mediocre, and that was like just who they are, and that's not necessarily like a gender thing. Or I mean, I feel like it even happens with media where it's not being portrayed as a gender thing, or it's like, you know, all the characters are incompetent, but then someone will be like, wow, the female characters in this are incompetent. I'm like, but everyone is.
Okay, I found the exact quote because I have the comic with me from Champions. So they were all on their phones from, you know, being on Viv's Wi-Fi. And then she's like, okay, you know, Miss Marvel stands up and she's like, all right, now that we know each other's powers, I read some exercises. And then Miles interrupts and says, in a minute. And she said, no, don't you do this. And Miles is like, do what? And she says, you're not going to make the woman the spoil sport like she is in every single movie. I'm not here to make you do anything or to keep you from doing what you want. I want us to have adventures in crazy, beautiful places we never imagined. Lost cities, hidden dimensions. Do you want that? Yeah. And so it goes from there. But I just really like that quote. And I think it touches on what we were just talking about with, you know, the whole like, oh, female character has to be the spoil sport, competent, be the one who's focused on the task at hand while the guys goof off. Which is a disservice to women and to men and to people of any gender. It's just like to put it in that box of behavior according to your gender.
Yeah. I think it's a good point that it's like, it's basically telling men like the bar is very low for you, which on the one hand is both like insulting, but also like unfair, you know? And then same with women where it's like the bar needs to be very high. So it's like, you can't be a mediocre or like incompetent woman without it being like a big deal or a problem or a reflection on your gender. So yeah. But yeah, that's, thank you for bringing that up, because I never read that comic, but I think that that's a great quote, because like, I love Kamala saying like, I'm not going to do this like in every movie. And I'm like, yeah, I feel like we see this trope so often in media, and it's not one that gets like called out or called attention to very often, but I find it frustrating.
Yeah, and it's not something I really thought about until like she said that, until like you brought it up sort of tangentially just now. Like, yeah, so anyways, that's just where I was coming from with that is for Sylvie as a character. Anything else you want to say about Sylvie for the present moment, or should we continue on with the plot?
Yeah, so I mean, first of all, I do want to preface that like we've only spent an episode or so with Sylvie, so you know, it could be that we're going to get kind of more dimension to her or more of a reasoning why she does seem so much more focused than Loki Prime. But, you know, this is just the vibe I'm getting and kind of what I noticed from this episode. The other thing is that I kind of thought it was odd that Loki sort of turned the topic of conversation over to romance pretty quickly. It may be because he wants to know what it would be like to hook up with his own variant.
Oh, that's gross.
But I mean, he would do it, you know. I'm pretty sure he would do it. But if that's not kind of why he's wants to talk about it, it's like, I kind of wonder if like that's his immediate reaction upon like female version of me is like, oh, are you dating anyone? Like, I don't know. It just seems like an odd question, especially coming from him, because he hasn't really shown. I mean, you know, we know from the dialogue he says that apparently he's hooked up with people of both genders, but like he's never really shown that much of an interest in romance anytime we have seen him on screen.
Yeah. I mean, let's talk about that for a second. Like I said in the chat, I was like, wait, did they just confirm like ... like, yeah. Wait, is this real? Is this real?
I guess, yeah.
I was waiting for this in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but all right. I did want to read this tweet from Kate Herron, who is the director, which I thought it was a pretty sweet thing. So from the moment I joined Loki, it was very important to me, and my goal to acknowledge Loki was bisexual is a part of who he is and who I am too. I know this is a small step, but I'm happy and heart is so full to say this is now canon in the MCU. Which I just thought was a sweet thing to say from the director. But yeah, I mean, what are your thoughts on that, Caroline?
I mean, here's the thing. I'm going to say, you know, good for her. Like, I'm glad that she this is something she fought for and she felt was important to her and she staked a claim on it. But I guess what to me I think is a little odd is her saying that this was, again, always part of who Loki was, because as I said, we've never seen Loki really show an interest in anyone romantically, you know? It's like when you'd say, you know, you were hoping for this in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, well, that's because, like, in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Sam and Bucky have this very charged dynamic that, you know, would make sense to turn into a romance or to have a romantic element to it, or to have at least one of them have romantic feelings for the other. And, you know, I'm not saying that that's the only way to interpret their relationship. Again, I think our culture does have a problem where we have trouble believing that men can have feelings outside of, like, wanting to bang. So
That's fair. That is totally fair.
Yeah. So it creates this weird thing where it's like either men are 100% heterosexual, or if they're, like, you know, have clear emotional connections to other men, then there must be something romantic or sexual about it. And I'm like, again, not that there's anything wrong with that, obviously, but, like, so yeah, I'm just saying, like, if you don't see Sam and Bucky as romantic, like, that's totally cool, but if you do, that's also totally cool, and that would make a lot of sense. But with Loki, I mean, again, I get that, like, in Norse mythology, he's kind of, there's some stuff where it's like, wait a second, that's kind of strange for this, like, hypo macho culture that you have this fairly important character in the stories who is, you know, very gender ambiguous. But in terms of the actual, and I'm sure there's stuff in the comics that I don't know about, but in terms of the actual MCU, again, Loki just hasn't shown an interest in anyone, really. So it seems odd that, like, that was picked up as a defining feature of this character, you know, outside of, like, fan fiction, obviously.
Well, I don't know if I would even call it a, like, defining feature, but then, I don't know, it was such a prominent conversation, I guess. I did think it was, like, odd. Like, I'm like, why are we having this conversation? I had thought even as we were watching it. And, like, I feel like if they weren't talking about that specifically and he had made a passing reference like that, it maybe would have made kind of more sense as, like, a thing that's necessarily supposed to be the defining trait. And it's, like, hard because, like, at least even with Kate Herron's quote, like, you know, and when, you know, when, you know, in articles about, like, Loki being gender fluid and, like, in the comics and in mythology, like, there, it's, like, in the collective consciousness, but you're right, it's not in the MCU consciousness. But I think the whole, like, Loki's always been this way is, like, thinking about it on that broader scale of Loki as, like, a mythology figure and as a comic book character and not just the MCU. That being said, like, you know, okay, so Loki's bisexual. Like, should there be, like, a so what? Should there be, like, I'm just thinking as far as, like, you know, meaningful representation goes, is it, like, I don't know if it's weird to say, but, like, quote, enough to say that he is? Is it, like, important to show that of him being in a romantic relationship when, like you said, he hasn't shown interest in that before? And, like, I don't know, just, like, what does that mean? Especially because, too, like, I'm still not sure how he's supposed to feel about Loki. I don't think he's supposed to be, like, technically, like, a villain as far as, like, you know, us rooting for him or not. So I'm not sure if it falls into that whole villainizing, you know, queerness, but there could be that association, because this is the first, like, you know, confirmed queer character we have. It's Loki, you know, and that comes with, I think, certain complications with that, you know? And, like, I feel like there's could be, like, all this kind of, like, pressure and expectation because he's the only one we've had so far confirmed, you know? And it's like, that's a lot.
Yeah, that, I mean, you're right. You touch on a lot of, like, a lot of the back and forth that goes around about, like, all these kinds of characters and these issues. And, like, for me, like, one of the things I find frustrating about this conversation a lot of times is when people talk about it being enough. Like, there's some sort of, like, queerness, I don't know, quotient that you need to fill. Like, mm-hmm. well, it doesn't matter if you identify this way. Like, you need to actively have dated this, you know, this amount of yeah. people, or you need to be shown on screen making out with another person of the same gender.
Right.
And like for me, you know, just from a personal note, like I'm a bisexual woman who hasn't really dated anyone in a while. And so I feel sometimes this pressure of like, do I like, I don't know, people being like, oh, you're not a real bisexual. You're not dating another woman currently, or you haven't dated one, you know, X amount of other women. Mm-hmm. So, but I haven't really dated any men either. So like, I just don't date guys. I got other, I got a lot of hobbies.
Same. But men suck. So anyway,
you're right. I'm like, theoretically, I'm attracted to men, you know, theoretically.
Oh, there's a great, this is a tangent, but there's a great TikTok where it's like, oh, no. I don't like men and women. I like women. I tolerate men. And I'm like, if that ain't also me, you know, even with just like being heterosexual, I'm like, yeah, I tolerate men. I have to. Anyways, sorry, I took us off topic. But that,
yeah. No, this is yeah. on topic. Yeah.
Yeah, no, again, yeah. But I apologize for like framing it in terms of like enough, like, you know, it really, I remember this being a dialogue that we've talked about before and something mm-hmm. like I remember like reading about too, in terms of like, yeah, like how, oh, well, you say you're bisexual, but like, are you really? And I do remember like talking about the whole like show proof. I don't know, show your credentials or something, you know. Yeah, and it is like, really weird.
You need to have like your queer ID out. But yeah, no, please don't apologize. I'm not saying that like you're, you know, framing it incorrect. I'm just saying that like this is a conversation
yeah.
that definitely is one that is always being had, I feel like, about yeah. representation. And I don't think that it's totally invalid to be like, have a character being like, oh, by the way, I just happen to be gay. Because like we have seen a lot of that in media. And like, again, theoretically, and like, you know, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's probably good to have characters who just, it's really good, I think, to have characters who just happen to be gay. And that's just part of their identity. But it's like, a lot of times, that's the only representation we get, mm-hmm. you know, it's just the, like the other sort of the random character who isn't named, who says, oh, by the way, I happen to be dating another person of the same gender. And like, yeah. that's it. And like, again, that's cool, because that suggests, you know, that really that's normalizing. But at the same time, like, if that is the only representation, then
yeah.
I get why people say yeah. like, that doesn't feel like enough, you know?
And that's why I talk about the whole like Loki being the first, there's a lot riding on that shouldn't be yeah. riding on that. And it's, mm-hmm. yeah.
Yeah. Well, the other thing too, for me, is that it feels inorganic in mm-hmm. a sense. I mean, again, I'm not saying that with Loki, it's inorganic necessarily, but when it's like, that's the first, or that's like the big queer win, I'm like, wait a second, this doesn't come from the story. Like, spoiler, I mean, I guess since we're talking about stuff on Disney Plus and it's Pride Month, spoilers for the cartoon, the show The Owl House. Mm-hmm. That's a show I started watching last year, and the two female leads, I'm like, wait a second, there's something going on here. This feels like, and then it's like, oh, wait, this is what's going on here. Mm-hmm. And to me, I really appreciated that, because it wasn't just the creator coming out and saying like, oh, the main character is bi. It was like the main character is shown to have crushes on guys, and then it looks like her main female love interest is a girl, you know. Mm-hmm. And that was, it felt very, to me, it feels very organic to the show. And again, I don't know, maybe somehow it'll go completely off the rails in season two and they won't get together or anything. But at the moment, I'm like, well, this is clearly what the show is about to some extent or another. And then so with characters who just happen to be queer, it's like, well, okay, that's part of their identity, but that's not what their arc or what their plot line or what like their interactions are about. So it feels a little bit tacked on.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a tricky like balancing act, and like, you know, I guess I'll say about that is just like, I'm great. I'm happy for the director, yeah. you know, and, you know, on another level, I'm happy that, you know, Tom Hiddleston, it sounded like, he, you know, I remember reading an article of him being like really excited about bringing that, you know, incorporating his gender, the gender fluid identity of the character as well. Like, I appreciate just seeing the general excitement about that, because it just feels like that's like 10 years ago, but that excitement have been around, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, like, I feel like 10 years ago that would have been like a joke, you know?
Yeah.
Been treated as a joke, mm-hmm. or something like that. I mean, I'm not saying like Tom Hiddleston would have. He seems like he's always been a very kind of conscientious person. But like, yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that I feel like it's cool that it is happening now. And again, I don't want to take away from this meaning something to the director, or if there are fans out there who have always like identified with Loki, you know, if that feels important to you, I'm like, you know, go ahead, cool. I am not trying to rain on your parade here.
Yeah, it's just, yeah, there are definitely complications that come with it, even as it is, like, you know, exciting on one level. So I think that's all I'll say on that. Were you gonna say something?
Sorry, before we moved on, I kind of wanted to, since this is a big topic, I was kind of curious as to your, I thought you brought up a good point about the idea of like, okay, you know, Loki being the sort of first big, like canonically queer character in the MCU, you know, outside of like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or something, and how like that mm-hmm. also has this like added burden to it, because, you know, this is such a big franchise and there are so many characters. And this is someone who's been such a big part of it for so long. So there's this kind of pressure to like, this has to be a big deal in a way that it wouldn't necessarily if he were like a new character introduced in this series, you know?
Yeah, it's interesting you bring up Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. too, because I was like even looking at, because we're working on that on the podcast for like Pride Month, doing a feature like we've done for other months. Yeah. And I was like, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., there were throwaway characters who were gay, but then I never heard from them again.
Yeah, that is a good point. It's like, hello, I'm the gay Inhuman. And then, like, they're gone.
Like, where did he go? I, like, as much as I love Yo-Yo, like, I was like, where's I don't even remember his name. Anyway.
I think it was Joey, because Yo-Yo, I know, ends up on, I've only gotten to season 5-ish right now, and I know she's in a relationship with Mac. I don't know if she mm-hmm. ever mentioned having a thing for other women, but I think she's
no. As far as the main cast concerned, yeah.
Who is just, I mean, I remember him being like a nice character and I liked him, but I think he was just kind of the gay Inhuman for a little bit and then he was gone.
I didn't even, yeah. I don't even remember what happened to him. Anyway, sorry, this is a huge tangent, but like.
No, it's not a tangent, because it's like this is kind of indicative of the overall state of the MCU. You know, even in like the TV shows, which have so much more time and so many more characters, it's like, okay, I think there was a queer character. And then, yeah, you also kind of touch on the whole question of like Loki being, you know, someone who was initially kind of billed as a villain and has been an anti-hero and is like a morally ambiguous character. And then there's that whole kind of like back and forth of like, you know, is it okay, like queer villain characters and people who are like, hey, isn't it weird that like so many villains are queer coded or queer presenting, versus people who are like, but yeah, I'm a gay person and I love gay villains and, you know, they're fun and they're flamboyant and like, I don't want queer characters to just be like, you know, 100% good people all the time, because that's not how real queer people are, you know? So like, there's that whole back and forth involved in this, so.
Yeah, well, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's a lot.
Okay, yeah. anything else you wanted to comment on that aspect of the character or MCU in general?
I guess I want to go off on a little bit of a tangent of being curious about like Asgard's gender and sexuality norms, because like she asked him if there were any like wannabe princesses or princes. And I'm like, okay, that's another question. Like, how does marriage and diplomacy work in Asgard? Like, is everyone just thousands of years old and chilling and nobody makes diplomatic marriages? Cause like they're princes, you know, that's, if you're royalty, you got to marry other royalty to cement alliances and stuff. Right. But it doesn't seem to be happening. The only thing we get is Odin being like, hey Thor, I think you and Sif should hook up. Not the human lady. I'm like, why shouldn't Thor marry a human lady? Again, I feel like that would be good diplomatically, but you know, maybe I'm just looking at it from a historical perspective. of like what I know like medieval royalty actually does in terms of their court.
Yeah, I mean, does Asgard have anything to really worry about with when they've stolen everybody else's gold and they're sitting on all this power? You know,
I mean, they got the Frost Giants. It seems like they made some kind of like peace treaty with them. So
yeah,
you know,
I guess.
And in the mythology, Loki is. It's interesting because Loki, Laufey's son, does not refer to his father. It refers to his mother. His mother is an Æsir and his father's a Jotun, which does happen a fair amount in the Norse mythology. But like it's interesting that in the mythology, he's half and half. And then in the this, he's like he's full Jotun, but he's adopted. Anyway, it just got me thinking. But yeah, that's a good point. But heck, even like. I guess maybe with Asgard, they only like marry within themselves because they just assume they're the most powerful and they don't have to make alliances with other powers or anything. But still, like, you know, if they want that Asgardian royal line to continue, like, why hasn't Thor been forced into some kind of marriage sometime? You know, what if he dies and they don't have backup or heir? Who does the crown go to? You know, Odin already locked up his other daughter in the basement, so...
I don't know. I'm not familiar enough even with Norse mythology to know about their whole family tree. I'm sure it's messed up if I know anything from Greek mythology, but anyway.
It's not actually as messed up as Greek mythology.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the Norse gods are like not as into like incest and assaulting random mortals as the Greek gods are. So
okay.
Well, I mean, they're not nice, but like they're not as bad as the Greek gods.
Oh man,
but that's a pretty low bar.
I want to say real quick about so this is changing the subject. Do you mind?
Oh yeah, of course.
Yeah. So the opening shot of the episode is like the two, like the guard. I forget the guard's name, and Sylvie in a bar, and you know they're just like, you know. Sylvie's pretending they're best friends and everything. And then like, you know, the guard is just like, wait, what's happening? You know, I don't know you. It had such strong WandaVision, Wanda power vibes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to note that. It was interesting.
Yeah, that is a good point. Cause I think in the chat you brought that up and then, you know, I was asking like, hey, do Sylvie's powers overlap with Wanda's at all? You know, because they're both very mind-based, and also the fact that, like, she's putting someone in an illusion mm-hmm. and, like, giving her this false memory. Like, yeah, it definitely feels like it's the kind of thing Wanda was doing in WandaVision. So I wonder if, like, she gets her power from the same source or, like, she learned magic the same way. She says she taught herself how to do it, so it's presumably a little bit different, but...
Hmm. Well, I mean, though, like, wasn't it kind of the same for Wanda, too? She had to also teach herself. It's not like Hydra had a school.
Yeah, I don't think the Hydra magic school is going to be turned into a young adult novel anytime soon.
Oh, it's so bad. And speaking of the magic too, there was a fun, like the whole, like, you know, where she tries to, how they say it, enchant Loki. And he's like, it's not going to. You can't do that to me. My mind is too strong. And I'm like, your Jedi mind tricks won't work on me. Because it was right there. I can't believe they didn't actually quote it. I think you were saying that. I can't believe they didn't actually quote that. Because
yeah. I mean, they own the rights. Surprise me. Yeah, they do own the rights. But it wouldn't surprise me if Loki hasn't seen Star Wars. Like, I don't think he's seen a lot of movies.
No. Maybe that's why he came out so, you know... Loki. Maybe he needed to just sit down, chillax, watch the movies. Anyway.
I think it's because they don't have candy in Asgard. I think that's the
problem. Oh my gosh, that's right. They don't have candy in Asgard. That's crazy.
Yeah, they don't have candy. They don't have movies. Like, you know, they just sing songs and learn magic and stuff, which is cool.
They have theater. They have theater.
Yes, they have theater. So I guess that's what Loki was doing when he was a teenager and we got bored. That was his creative outlet, was making up plays about himself.
So good. Yeah. I wouldn't want to live on Asgard, just that alone. You don't want to meet a Bridget without chocolate. That's just wouldn't be pretty. Anyway, Yeah. So mind powers, interesting.
I don't know. I'd like to hang out on Asgard for a little bit. You know, it sounds like they have fun parties. They drink lots of mead. I like mead. I like singing. You know, I've never smashed my glass and yelled another, but that sounds like fun. I'd like to do it.
That was a perfect reference. Like, so perfect. I love any time that, like something in Loki reminds me of Thor and reminds me of their connection. I know, obviously, Thor, like, is not the only one probably who does that. It must be, like, an Asgardian thing. But, like, I just love their relationship so much. And I wish Chris Hemsworth could be on this show, honestly, because I feel like I would have a lot more fun with this. Not that I'm not having fun with Sylvie, but you know what I mean.
Like, yeah, I totally know what you mean. I think he and Hemsworth and Hiddleston do have a really great back and forth and rapport. So, yeah, that would definitely be fun if the two could, like, wander around the galaxy together for a little bit. But yeah, I agree. I thought that was a really lovely reference because it's like, you know, it's not super in your face of like, this is a thing that happened in the Thor movie. But it's like, it's definitely a memorable moment from Thor. And it's also, mm-hmm. yeah, it's kind of neat to see Loki kind of, it's very clear that even though he's rejected Asgard, like that's still where he comes from culturally and it's still a part of him. And, you know, maybe it is an Asgardian thing or maybe it is just something Thor did. And so, you know, when he and Loki were partying together, they'd do that. But
yeah, in a way that only princes could. They're too afraid to say anything. Oh, that poor waiter.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. No, nobody else can get away with smashing that many glasses all over the place, but they can because they're royalty.
Oh, man. That's kind of a funner idea. Let's say it's just a Thor thing. That's not even an Asgardian thing. It is a Thor thing that Loki also does. I love it. Headcanon accepted.
I mean, I also want to hear more about, like, these bets of theirs based on what happened in the first episode. Like,
yes. Oh, yes.
Like, how many other historical events have been influenced by Thor or Loki losing a bet with one another?
Oh, yeah, because you know that Thor lost at least one or two bets. You just know. And, like, what was it? Who? What? Why?
Yeah.
Oh, the fix. I need to look for the fix. Anyway. Yeah. Oh, okay. I don't get, though, like, Loki's, like, ramblings. His metaphors are terrible. Like, first the salad one.
His metaphors are really bad.
Yeah. When he's talking about love, what was his metaphor about love? It's already escaping me because it was so weird.
Part of it, too, is, again, it comes out of nowhere. I mean, I guess the one explanation I can think of for, like, why he asked her about romance and then why he starts talking about love is that he's a deeply lonely person. And that he's trying to kind of, maybe that the reason we've never seen him, like, romantically interact with someone is just that's a part of him that, like, he keeps very, very buried. And he's trying to, like, talk about it, or because he's, I don't know, someone, like, broke his heart back in the day and he's still kind of like, oh God, am I writing sympathetic Loki fanfic in my head or something?
I think you are, Caroline.
I don't want to be.
Listen, Caroline, just be open, okay? It's not Tony Stark we're talking about.
Okay? You're right. It's Loki. I can play with the non-canonical sympathetic backstory with him. The sympathetic backstory totally invented by fans. But yeah, with Loki, like, maybe that's the point of this whole conversation, is that he's someone who is very lonely, and this is him kind of trying to talk through that by saying, he's like, love's like a dagger, you think it keeps you safe, and you see yourself in it, but then it hurts you, and it's not real.
Blood. So it's a fake dagger. I realize it doesn't really work, but it's like... Okay, juice in a salad and a disappearing dagger. That's all. That's what you got for me, Loki. And I quoted Alice in Wonderland in the chat. Mm-hmm. I was just like, "Why is a raven like a writing desk?" Because that nonsensical riddle from Mad Hatter, it just had the same energy to me. I'm sorry if I've insulted Lewis Carroll by saying that, but that's just like where my brain went.
Yeah. That, thank you for explaining that illusion, because I'm not super familiar with Alice in Wonderland, but I'm like, wait a second, I think that's where that's from. But yeah, it does kind of have a similar energy to it. I don't know. Now I've got another kind of like Norse related headcanon of like, maybe in Asgard, there's this tradition. They have like a poetry tradition and like an oral poetry tradition, and Loki's very bad at it because he sucks at metaphors. Like, he keeps trying to do metaphors because he's supposed to be able to do kind of poetry on the fly, but he just can't quite pull it together.
Spoken word, and he sucks at it. I want to hear really bad spoken word poetry. You know, you think of the movies of like where they go to the open mic nights and like that very indie hipster person comes up and you know what scene I'm talking about.
Yeah. Everyone's there in kind of like the mead hall, and then like Sif gets up and she's like, I'm Sif. Sometimes I like to fight. That's it. Okay, fine. And then Thor comes up and he's like, Mead is good. I like snakes too. Okay, cool. Snaps everybody. And then Loki comes up and tries to do like a really long metaphor, and it doesn't. I'm not sure who in Asgard is good at the snap poetry or like the spoken word stuff. But as I said, it was, if you were a Viking or Anglo-Saxon lord, you were supposed to be able to talk well, and you were supposed to be able to recite some poetry because it was a very oral culture. So that's my headcanon, is that Loki wants to be good at it, but he's not.
My headcanon is that Thor gets away with the spoken word by just saying, I am Groot. He could be saying something really deep and meaningful and no one would know. I'm just kidding.
Well, I mean, you know, he studied that language in high school, so.
Yeah.
It could be like, this is a traditional poem in the, I don't remember what the tree people are called. And then he's like, I am Groot. I am Groot. I am Groot. Everyone. Or, snips. I don't know, maybe he just like takes off his shirt and all the women in the coffee house just go snap right away. And so.
Exactly. Oh my gosh. Everyone would snap to that, actually.
You're right. All the Asgardians snap to that. And then, you know, yeah. So that's why it seems like he's better at snap poetry than he actually is. Or not, I think it's called spoken word, but I'm going to call it snap poetry.
I'm into it. Call it snap poetry. All right. Well, that was a beautiful headcanon we just wrote. This is we're on fire today. Love this. But
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. So there's that whole thing going on. And was there anything more we wanted to say about the song that he was singing? I don't know, that we kind of skirted over that earlier.
As I said, I do not have the context for it. Okay. I'm very sure that it's Norwegian or possibly Old Norse. But you know, I think the main takeaway I had from it is that Loki remembers his culture and wants to kind of call back to that. But also, again, that Loki's kind of messy and chaotic, and he's not good at following through on plans because, like, he's supposed to just be hanging out and keeping a low profile, but then he gets drunk and wants to, like, have a party.
Yeah. Yeah, that, like, I didn't know what was going on with that for a minute. I was just like, what, is this part of some plan to distract them so we can go in and, like, take over the train or something? I was kind of lost on what their plan was. I kept losing track of it. And then they're trying to make their way to the Ark. I was like, oh, they're making their way to the Ark, but doesn't that, like, disrupt the timeline? Won't that bring the TVA over? I was just having a hard time, like, keeping up with even, like, her plans. I was just like, what? What's going on? What are you trying to do? But, I mean, none of it ends up working after all. And they're stuck on this giant apocalypse with no way out. And I really don't know how they're going to get out, actually, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me see. Well, speaking of the train, I guess I was curious if you had any thoughts about their conversation about magic and about Frigga, because I think that was interesting when they kind of talk about that. And also that she has, you know, her parents responsibly told her she was adopted a lot earlier.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe it wasn't responsible. Maybe they were doing it in an obnoxious way or something, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, the way she said it was like, of course. Like, so I don't think it didn't sound like it had been a big deal for her anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, okay, that has been actually one thing that's always confused me about MCU Loki was like, wait, if he's a frost giant, how does he have magic? Because I don't know. I guess I had thought of magic as this inherent ability And I didn't realize it was something, at least as far as Frigga and the Asgardian magic is concerned, it was something that you could learn. That always kind of threw me off. I'm like, wait, but if he isn't actually, like, technically her biological son, then, like, how does he have her magic powers? I just never connected the dots with that. So, that helped to explain, like, that whole thing to me. Other than that, you know, I mean, it's kind of implied before that, like, you know, Frigga is the parent that Loki hates the least. And there is, like, some sort of, like, there is, like, sort of a softness to him as he's, like, talking about her and, like, how, you know, what does he say? That she believed, she said that, like, you can do anything, you know? And I think about that in the context of, like, you know, I'm sure Odin always sort of lifting up Thor over that as being more of the ideal and just, like, you know, he's the golden boy, like, literal, actual golden boy with, like, you know, the lightning powers and the worthy hammer. Like, was that even ever offered to Loki? Or I'm not saying it should have been, but, you know, it, just in terms of, like, as a comparison point between the two brothers and the tensions that was between the two of them, is that, like, where Frigga was coming from with, like, okay, you know, I'm going to give you this so that, you know, you have something also, you know, that's not just Thor with all the powers, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, my interpretation is that I don't think Odin is particularly good to Thor either. So I know a lot of people interpret it as being like there's being this favoritism. But aside from like the fact that Thor is the first in line, so he's going to inherit the throne, it's like Odin turns on Thor so quickly.
Yeah, you know? That's fair.
Like, and also just the fact that he banishes him to Earth and says, like, you don't get your powers until you're worthy, whatever that means. But like, Thor becomes worthy in like a day, you know, suggests that either there was nothing wrong with Thor to begin with, or Thor really needed to get away from Odin for 5 minutes. So yeah, I think Odin's a bad dad. I just don't think he's a bad dad in the way most people think he is. I think he's equally bad to both of them. But I think that with Frigga, I keep wanting to call her Freya, but with Frigga, it's interesting because like she and Loki have always had this kind of connection, and then there's also this added sort of poignancy of him realizing that, you know, he inadvertently led to her death in the other timeline.
Right.
So he's clearly thinking about her. But there's also, to me, and again, maybe this is part of my overall sort of frustration, there's this, people sort of treat it like, oh, Odin's this terrible parent and Frigga was so awesome. And to me, Frigga was clearly complicit in the stuff Odin did to some level or another. And I wish there was a chance to get at a more sort of layered interpretation of Frigga. And then there's this whole other issue throughout the Thor series of acting like adopted family isn't real family with Loki, you know, and it may be that like that comes across because his family didn't treat him that way or because that's how they saw it. Or again, I think I mentioned my headcanon that Loki is actually basically a hostage for the Frost Giants, that he's like a ward that's being kept so that the Jotun don't misbehave. Who Odin and Frigga just happened to end up caring about. I feel like there's a lot of complexity to that dynamic, but at the same time, it's also clear that like he and Frigga had this strong connection. So,
yeah, I doubt we're gonna get much more of Frigga's backstory, though. There's just not enough time. We're already halfway through the series, right?
Yeah, man, that's this thing is short.
I don't know, I guess I was too spoiled with, you know, WandaVision and Falcon the Winter Soldier, but I was just like, wait, it's already the end? I mean, all right, but we're at the halfway point, so, I mean, where do you see this going?
I don't know. This series has not, again, it's not bad, but it has really kind of yet to grip me. Like, I think it feels very, a lot of it feels very derivative. Like, I have not watched a lot of Doctor Who, but this episode felt like Doctor Who, but with a budget. And also, I mean, there's a lot of interesting questions being gotten at with the sacred timekeepers. But like at the end of last episode, there was this cliffhanger of like, you know, oh, the sacred timeline's been attacked and like Loki goes through the portal after her. And then that doesn't really turn into anything in this episode. Like, it was like, okay, we're going to really see, you know, the timekeepers and the inside of this agency, and there's going to be some big reveals. And there was one big reveal. But other than that, it was like, oh, okay. And now they're off on kind of like a mini adventure to hang out together.
Yeah.
Which I guess I should be like, be careful what you wish for, because I frequently talk about how I wish these things would like slow down and chill out and people could just hang out together. But it didn't feel like the right approach for the third episode right here.
So. Yeah. I did find myself sort of like almost bored. I'm like, okay, they're running through the thing. Let's just get to it. Like, where is this going? It was kind of like what I thought a couple times. But let's get back to the what you're saying about the big reveal, that the fact that the TVA is made out of variants. I mean, it had been implied, you know, that there was some sort of conspiracy going on. It was more than like that happy-go-lucky video was telling us, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, so did you see that coming though? That in particular, that like, oh, they're all variants?
I didn't see that they were all variants, but I was very, I feel like I knew there was going to be some kind of reveal about who they were and where they were coming from, because I was really curious about like, okay, how is it that you have all these people who don't remember what they're, or don't have a life before the TVA? And now that she explains that, I'm like, okay, that makes so much sense, because it's like, what are they doing to all the variants? Well, that makes sense. They're brainwashing them and they're, you know, putting them into their ranks to keep going with this whole, to clean up the other variants, you know? I'm like, okay, that makes sense as a system, but it does ask a lot of questions about like, what are they told about their backstory? You know, who do they think they are? And then clearly they've got these old memories that are buried very deep of like, you know, I feel bad for this officer who was like, okay, she was just a regular lady who liked margaritas, and then she became a variant. And now she got sucked into this outer space police force, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting, too, that Sylvie says, like, hundreds of years ago, but I guess time works differently. Like they say, time works differently in TVA, because I'm like, margaritas, how long have margaritas been around?
That's a good question. I don't know. I think they were probably invented sometime in the 20th century. And then the bar that they're in, to me, looks like it's in the present day, but, you know, it could be in, like, the 90s or early 2000s, based on what they're wearing. But again, that's not much of a difference when you're talking about hundreds of years.
Yeah. So, I mean, again, I can forgive that because of the whole weirdness of time, the TVA and Sylvie herself, but like, yeah, just something that like occurred to me now as we were talking about it, but yeah. And it just makes me wonder, go ahead.
Oh, sorry. I'm just trying to remember when the disaster on Lamentis takes place, because I don't know if it takes place at the same time.
2077, I think.
Okay. So that's far in the future, I think. But that's not hundreds of years in the future though.
No.
Yeah, but okay. But again, we don't know where Lady Loki comes from. She could come from hundreds of years in the future originally.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So, you know what? I don't know what her sort of point of reference for when this is to her, but I don't know. It could be that, I mean, clearly the TVA seems to exist like outside of time at some level or another. So I don't know when she hopped in or hopped off of the time stream, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. It's a good question. What was I going to say about the TVA, though? Oh, it makes me wonder, too, though, how they chose certain variants, because a lot of them, it's clear that they're like on the chopping block. They're going to be pruned. Or disintegrated, really. We see it in the first episode, but it's like, okay, how are people like, you know, Mobius chosen, or what's Renslayer? You know, like what was the criteria that like was like, oh, you'll be good to like keep the others in line or whatever.
Yeah, that is a really good question. If it's like they choose them based on, you know, some kind of like inherent characteristics, or if it's just a matter of like whoever, maybe it's just a matter of like not mouthing off to the TSA people until you get, or like causing trouble until you get to your trial and they reassign you. Because I think the person they disintegrated was like giving them a bunch of, you know, pushback about the ticket. And so they're just like, okay, you're fried. You know, whereas maybe someone who just like took their ticket and went on their way, they're like, okay, that person seems like they'll be easier to keep in line, or like.
That's interesting. Yeah, you're right. Because that was something like Jen and I were puzzling about with the first one. It's like, what was the point of all this? Like, why make them go through all that if you plan to kill them all anyway? But maybe if, like, let's say this Loki had, like, been, like, respectful and just saying, like, yes, I am guilty, you know, and I shouldn't be here. And it's like, oh, you seem to have, you know, our philosophy, maybe, you know, is it something like that? I don't know.
Yeah, it could be. Or, I mean, Miss Minutes is not a terribly reliable narrator, even though she is quite cute. But in the video, she says, basically, like, you do punishment for your crimes. And, you know, it could be that either that's just, you know, a way of not disclosing that these are all variants, or if that is what they see as punishment, you know, like you have to do service, basically, in order to atone for being a variant, you know, maybe that's the way they see it, but.
But do they know that they're variants?
Well, they don't once they've been brainwashed.
Yeah. Okay. I just wanted to make that clear. Okay. Yeah. I think that's an interesting development that I'm interested in seeing unfold. And like, it does explain too, like why the Hunter, like I think of Hunter B-15 and we were like, oh, like why doesn't Hunter B-15 get a name and like stuff like that. And then, you know, some people do, but it's like, yeah, you want to dehumanize variants as much as possible, even when they're doing quote what they're supposed to do to keep the others in line. It's just like, oh, it's just, ugh.
Yeah. I mean, the TVA, like, I think we already got an idea that they weren't they were not really as good. I mean, obviously, just the amount of the sort of aesthetics of the place, like how bureaucratic it is, how kind of propagandistic the cartoons and things are. It's pretty clear that, like, they're not up to good stuff, even if, you know, maybe there are some people working for them who have some good ideas, like Mobius, but I don't know, maybe it turns out that he's actually been evil the whole time or something. But yeah, I think the TVA is pretty shady, and I guess my question for the overall series is, like, are they going to basically still be there by the end of this series? Or will they still be standing, or will Loki actually manage to blow the whole thing up, you know, and we'll have a multiverse?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, we all thought it was gonna be Wanda, but it might not be. It also makes me wonder about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. though, because they go back in time, they have that whole branch of reality. Like, I know that Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. isn't part of the MCU, apparently.
Okay, that is not real. They are part of the MCU.
I know, Caroline. I just
but at the same time, like, when Mobius is talking to Loki, he makes it sound like Coulson is just dead and stays dead. I'm like, no, Coulson's not dead, he's still alive.
Kind. Well, yeah.
Wait, does he die at the end of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
Well, it's complicated.
Oh, no.
Sorry, spoiler.
I can't watch Coulson die again.
Well, like,
I didn't care about him before, but then I watched Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and I loved him. So now I'm very invested.
Keep watching. You'll understand what I mean.
Got it. And when I say I didn't care about him, I'm not trying to say that he was not a good character before. I just thought his death in Avengers was very contrived. I liked him. I just didn't care because of the way it was written. And then, again, he came back, and that was the right. And I'm like, oh, good. They erased that choice. That was the right thing to do, in my opinion. So
it was the right choice. Agreed.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's no point in wasting a good character like that.
But anyways, it just makes me wonder, like, oh, what is that? You know, how is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.? Like, they go on a bunch of branches of time. Like last season goes into all the kinds of time travel, and it's just like, what?
I mean, my understanding is that there is an invasion by time travelers that they are going to counter. So I feel like maybe, well, I mean, the TVA is also kind of like a little bit very arbitrary when it comes to being like, oh, yeah, the Avengers were supposed to do that. You weren't. I'm like, okay, what's your rationale for that? But I think with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., it could be that, like, well, you know, they self-corrected their own time stream, so that's cool. We didn't have to step in and intervene.
Yeah. they go into weird time shenanigans in Agents Shield. Like you're barely at the tip of the iceberg there, Caroline.
Anyway. Yeah, I'm only with them in the future right now. I know they go in the past as well, so.
Yeah, it's a lot. Anyways, one more thing that like caught my attention while we were watching is Loki looking around and saying they don't even care that they're going to let these people die, in terms of like how they're ushering, you know, the rich onto the Ark. That's, mm-hmm. you know, obviously will get destroyed, but they don't know that. And like, you know, the poor is like left on this, you know, desolate planet that's about to be destroyed. And there's a moment where he stops and looks around like they're just being so cold right now. And I'm like, wait, Loki cares? Like,
I'm like, you just went to Pompeii and started like goofing around with these poor people who are going to get like blasted into oblivion by lava and, you know, pyrotechnic flows in a few minutes. So, like, yeah. Just saying, Loki.
Yeah. I was just like, that's weird.
I mean, it could be, I guess, like a character arc that he's starting to like, this amount of apocalypses is starting to rub off on him. Of like the amount of destruction that the TVA could potentially prevent, but they're not doing anything about, you know, or something like that.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Caroline making a sympathetic Loki headcanon. I'm enjoying this so much.
I'm trying to give him character development, okay? Because otherwise he's just chaotic and a mess and likes to goof around and screw things up. Like, that's fun to watch, but, like, I'm trying to give him, like, a little more depth, I guess.
You go, Caroline. You go. I will sit back and watch. It'll be delightful.
Oh, anyway. Dear. I've turned into one of those... I guess I've turned into a Loki fan, even though I'm not. And I'm just kind of lukewarm about this series.
You're Loki warm. That was so bad. I apologize to our listeners.
That's terrible, but I'm going to keep using it.
Oh, no. I've created a monster. Anyways. Okay. Well, anything else you wanted to say about this episode?
Let's see. No, I think those are all my thoughts right there.
Okay. Oh, one quick thing that I just realized from looking on Wikipedia, the writer for this episode is, I apologize if I'm mispronouncing your name, I didn't realize, Bisha K. Ali is a British stand-up comedian and screenwriter, and she is the head writer for the upcoming streaming television series Miss Marvel. So that's interesting.
Oh, that is interesting. I'm excited for that show.
Yeah, me too. And funnily enough, I had quoted her earlier in this episode, so that's delightful. Anyway,
I guess Ms. Marvel is just kind of a presence in this, or I don't know, maybe you somehow sensed that it was a Ms. Marvel writer involved.
I know.
It's a... Amazing. Everything's connected.
Everything is indeed connected, so.
Yeah.
Well... Yeah, was there anything else you want to talk about?
Well, this isn't from this episode, but I was curious, speaking of everything being connected, if you had any ideas about the alleged Agent Carter connection or Agent Carter sighting, because in the last episode when they were at the Roxcart building, I made the Carter connection that I think that Roxcart is like a variation or some kind of a new iteration of the Roxxon Corporation that we see.
Oh my gosh, Caroline. When I watched that episode on my own, I had thought to myself, that sounds like Roxxon. Oh, that makes me think of Agent Carter. And I'm like, no, I'm crazy. Why am I bringing in Agent Carter again?
Because we gotta find a Carter connection. It's always there. Oh,
it is always there. Oh, you're so right.
That is my headcanon, is that the Roxxon Corporation became Roxcart at some point. That's the new rebranding or something.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Or it's a branch of Roxxon or something like that.
An offshoot, a spin-off, if you will.
Absolutely. But I was also curious because several I've seen on the interwebs that people are convinced that like they see that they're Peggy. We see Peggy Carter or someone who looks like Peggy Carter in the first episode in the background. And I don't see that.
I did not notice that. No.
Yeah, I didn't see that. And I was like on the lookout for it because I kept hearing like Agent Carter Easter egg question mark. I'm like, wait, what? I would know if it was an Agent Carter Easter egg. I can find those. So
yeah, we have mega vision for that.
yeah. I guess, I mean, I wouldn't be averse to like somehow like Peggy and Steve get involved in time travel shenanigans because like that's always a question with this time travel stuff in the TVA. But like, yeah, I don't think that was, I don't know, maybe it was supposed to be and she was there for like someone who looked like her was there for a second and I missed her, but like I didn't see that. So,
yeah, no, I didn't notice that.
Yeah,
that would have been great, though. probably wouldn't have made sense, but it would have been great.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Well, I mean, Lady Loki is British, so it's possible maybe she's like the secret. She's not actually Lady Loki. She's actually a gender flip version of Peggy's lost brother.
What?
There we go.
You just blew my mind, Caroline.
I pulled that out of nowhere completely.
Much like the Loki writers so far. sorry, that was major shade right there. I am enjoying this. I don't want to make it sound like I'm not enjoying this series. It's I just have like questions. But yeah. You know what? We're halfway through. Let's just see what happens next. You know. I can't even say I'm nervous because like Loki's not my favorite character and has never been necessarily, but I'm like, I'm intrigued. I want to know how they get off this planet and I want to know if Loki and I keep wanting to call him Owen Wilson, Mobius become best friends. I kind of need it. You know?
Yeah, I know. I keep wanting to call him Owen Wilson too and have to fight that impulse.
Every time.
But yeah, I know with this cliffhanger, like even if I liked Loki, it wouldn't feel like a real cliffhanger because it's like, okay, they'll get off somehow and then presumably something will happen in the next episode. So yeah, it's just, again, this show isn't bad. There's a lot of interesting and fun stuff. It looks good. It's got good people in it. But I just don't know if I'd keep watching if I wasn't doing these recaps, you know?
Yeah, if I wasn't doing this podcast, would I still be watching it? Yeah, I would. Who am I kidding? I do anything Marvel. You just slap Marvel and I'm like, I'm there. I'm there with my wallet open. Here we are.
yeah.
But not everyone is a super fan, I guess, of literally anything remotely Marvel related. So
yeah. I mean, I was under the impression that I was a super fan because I've spent hours and hours and hours obsessing about this stuff.
You are, but about like I think certain like segments of it, and rightfully so. Like I don't blame you for not being in like all that into Iron Man, for instance. Like I don't blame you for that. I'm not saying you're not a Superman fan for that, but like I just mean like anything Marvel related. I'm just like I you got me. I don't even have to like this character very much. I will like at least give you a chance. I even gave that show Inhumans a chance, okay? And that was bad.
Wow, that is impressive. You should get some kind of an award for that because I don't think anyone watched that show.
Yeah, I like that is my dedication, Caroline. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm like a super freak, okay? Anyway.
Yeah. You're not a freak. You're a super fan. And you were impressively dedicated. And I think... I don't want to make it sound like I'm only like, I don't know, a Captain America fan because I do love a lot of the other characters.
Yeah.
But like, I guess when it comes to my level of super fandom, I am super fan obsessed with like Steve and Bucky and Sam and that group. And I was also excited for WandaVision because she was someone who I always like wanted to see more of. So like, again, it's not that I don't love a lot of the characters because I do. I think I like most of the characters. But I don't even, again, dislike Loki, even if I find his writing frustrating. I think he always had potential and I like Tom Hiddleston.
Yeah.
And I, in general, like the Thor movies, even if, again, I find them frustrating because I do like Thor a lot and I find the family dynamic potentially really intriguing. And, you know, I'm really excited for Love and Thunder. So that's another question. I wonder if Loki's going to show up or if there's going to be any kind of crossover with Love and Thunder going on here.
We can only hope. We can only hope.
Yeah. Yeah. That'll be exciting.
Yeah. Something to look forward to. But okay, well, I think that's all I had then. So are you ready to wrap up here?
I think we're good to go.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time on
Nerd Alert.
Girls. Bye.
Bye. Stay safe and stay nerdy out there.